Well, whose fault is that if you don't know the Bible well enough? Study it. Okay? Learn it. But let me share another thought with you about that. You don't have to know the Bible well enough. Okay? Don't worry about whether you know the Bible. Think about it this way and learn how to find out what you want to know in the Bible. In other words, when I was a state trooper, one of the things that I learned in that was, you know, the motor vehicle code. It's just part of the laws, okay? The motor vehicle code back in my day was about that thick, okay? Now, there is no way in the world that we're going to remember all of those laws, okay? You see, you took your driver's test. Those of you who know how to drive, some of you are driving, you don't know how to drive, but you took your driver's test and you studied out of a manual that's about that thick, right? And so it has all the basic rules of the road for you to be able to drive safely, but that nowhere compares to that, okay? Now, you know, people all the time, they look at state troopers, they think they're supposed to know the laws, right? So they all say, trooper, what does the law say about so-and-so? Remember that, Barry? People do that all the time, right, Tim? They ask you all the time, what does the law say about so-and-so? I don't know. But here's the one thing I didn't. I didn't worry about whether I knew all the laws. What I learned, and this is the valuable lesson, is I learned how to find out the answer to that question. You see? I don't have to know everything that it says. What I do need is to know how to find what I want to know. And that same principle applies to us with the Bible.
Amen.
Sometimes the best answer to give somebody is, I don't know, but I'll find out. You see? So you know, let's put that, you know, excuse over on the side. I don't know the Bible well enough. Well, there's another area of excuse that we oftentimes use, and that's, well, you know, I don't want to lose my friends. I started, you know, telling people about Jesus. There, some of my friends, they don't like, you know, they don't want to hang out in church. They don't go to church. And, you know, so I'm liable to lose some of my friends. Well, let me ask you this question. If you're going to lose some of those friends because you're talking about Jesus, are those the kind of friends you want to have to begin with? I'm just saying, okay? Maybe you need to find some different friends if the friends you're hanging around with aren't interested in Jesus. Say, and they're going to stop being your friend because you tell them about Jesus. Maybe those aren't the kind of people you need to be hanging out with. Try to share with them about Jesus first, but, you know, hey, if they don't want to be your friend because you're in a relationship with God, okay, find some different friends. Because those folks will influence you against God. And the other part of that is, are you more concerned about disappointing your friends or maybe losing them than you are about disappointing God? See? There's another area of disaster, why we don't share our faith more with people, that I think has a lot to do with. And this isn't, I don't think, an excuse. I think there's a valid reason in this. And I think it has to do with whether or not we really, really, truly believe in hell. So let's talk about hell being real. You see, in other words, could it be that we don't share our faith with people because we don't really believe that hell exists? You say, and so what's the problem? What's the worry there? In other words, I think it kind of fits into this whole general category of being Christian atheists. We believe in God, but yet we live like He doesn't exist. And I think a lot of people believe hell exists, but they live like it really doesn't. And so there's, then, if we don't really believe, intellectually we acknowledge, yeah, there's a hell. The Bible says there's a hell. But do we really believe that in terms of it having an impact on our lives? In other words, this whole idea of, you know, the wide gate and the narrow gate, and that more people are going to end up in hell than are in heaven, they're going to go through the wide gate and the broad road. Do we really believe that? You see? Or do we really think that more people are going to be saved than are going to the again, what happens is that we don't have this sense of urgency, okay, to share the gospel with people if we don't really believe or aren't convinced that people are going to be lost eternally. If we're not really convinced of that, then there really is no urgency to help them to be saved, to keep them from being lost and going to hell forever. Does that make sense? So we really have to ask ourselves, what's the level of our sense of urgency in sharing the gospel with other people? I think it has an awful lot to do with how convinced we are that there really is a hell. Poll in 2013, this survey gets taken every, you know, bunch of years and so forth. But May of 2013, this poll was taken. And let's look at some results here. 56% of Americans believe in the devil. Okay? But think about what our concept of the devil really is. We typically, when we think of the devil, we think of something like this. This cartoon character with horns and a pointy tail and a pitchfork and, you know, any kind of funny looking. And that's the concept that a lot of people, or the picture that a lot of people have of the devil. Okay? 53% of those surveyed believe in hell. Okay? But again, what's the concept of hell? There's a wide teaching that's going on today that says, yes, hell exists, but hell really is nothing more than being outside of God's presence when you die. Okay? And it's kind of like, you know, this thing, you know, welcome to hell, like us on Facebook. I don't know if you can read the caption on there or not, you see. In 2004, by the way, this very same poll was taken, and 70% of the people back then believed in hell. So something has happened between 2004 and 2013 where the percentage of people is really declining. 43% believe that hell is a place of suffering. Only 43%. That you're not really going to be suffering, you're just not going to be able to be with God. Okay? So that's hell. It's interesting that only 1.5% of the people surveyed think that they will actually go to hell. Okay? The other 98.5%, I guess, all figure they're going to heaven, since that's the only other alternative. Okay. Only 1.5%. You see, here's what I want you to think about in this. If we truly did believe what the Bible teaches about hell, then I think we would be more motivated to make sure we don't go there ourselves. In other words, that we're living our lives the way God wants us to, and that we would be telling other people so that they wouldn't go there. Hell is such a terrible place, I would not wish for my worst enemy to go to hell. It's so bad. I don't want anybody to go there. Do we really understand what hell is really all about? In Matthew chapter 5, look at what Jesus says. You want to get an idea of how bad hell is? He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Okay, now, I don't know about you, but gouging my eyes out is not something that I have on my agenda, okay? It's not something that I even think about looking forward to doing. That I can't even imagine the pain and the agony of having that happen. And yet Jesus is saying that look at it. Hell would be worse. Go ahead and gouge your eyes out if that's what would keep you from ending up hell. Same thing with your hand. He says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Can you imagine doing that? Cutting your hand off? No, I can't. But it would be better for you to do that than it would be for you to... Does that sound like that hell is just a place where you're just not going to be with God and there's no suffering or pain? Not to me, it doesn't.
No.
Not to me. In Revelation 14 and verse 10, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. Now look at the next verse, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. It's everlasting. You say, there's no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Torment. A never-ending agony. That's the reality of what the Bible teaches about hell. Okay. And what it will really be like. So hell is real. And it's a really, really bad place to spend eternity. But are you convinced of that in your heart? Say, that's a part of the issue that all of us have to come to terms with. You think about the people in your life that you know are not Christians. They don't belong to the Lord. This is what awaits them unless they give their life to the Lord. Are you really that concerned about it? Because heaven is real, or hell is real. The good thing is that heaven is also real. Okay? That's the flip side of this thing. Heaven is also real. Okay? But here's part of the problem is that a lot of people believe that heaven is the default location. Okay? In other words, when most of us die, that's just where we're going to go, is to heaven. Okay? Because you know how defaults work, is that's where you go unless you're really, really bad. I mean, the only people are going to go to hell, people say, well, yeah, I believe in hell. But the only people that are going to go there are the ones who are really, really bad. Okay. The rest of us get to go to heaven because that's the default location. That's where everybody's going to go that's at least a good person, right? Okay. But here's the thing that we have to really look at. Okay, here's another statistic for you. 62% of the people believe in heaven and think they're going to go there. Okay? But at the same time, this thing works. We need to understand what, again, the Bible says about who's going to heaven and who's not. And understand this. I'm not saying this because, and especially for the reason of saying, we got the right answers, we're going and you're not because you're not. No, that's not the issue. The issue is that we should be sharing this with people so that they get to enjoy the glory of heaven with God and not spend eternity in hell. What does the Bible really tell us about it? Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. Why does he say that? Why does he say, go, there's a narrow gate here, go through that one? Why? Because broad is the road, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that find it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Okay? See that again. Few there be that find it. That's the reality. So heaven is not a default location where most people are going to go. It's just the opposite.
Amen.
And we've got to do our part in And that's what God wants us to be doing, and why Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples. We've got to do our part to make sure that as many people as we can find that narrow gate. Okay? So that they are not lost forever. That 62%, by the way, of people who say they're going to go to heaven is down from the 2004 survey where 81% of people say they will. What's that telling us? You see, we're missing. In our message, I think, we're missing not only how bad hell is, but we're missing how good heaven is. You see? We need to be sharing that message with folks. It's a place that you want to be. It's a place you want to spend eternity in because it's so wonderful. We've got to re-look at, re-examine those two parts and see, okay, here's the message. I don't want you to go to hell because it's so terrible. What I want you to do is I want you to go to heaven because it's so wonderful. Okay. Wonderful place. Look at what the psalmist says about how good, how wonderful heaven is. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. One day in the courts of God. Can you think of, just think of the best place that you can imagine on earth here. The place that you like to go, you know, wildest amusement park or whatever it might be that brings you the most fun and the most satisfaction. One day in the courts of God is 1,000 times better than that place. Whatever it is that brings you joy and excitement. That's how wonderful heaven really is. Okay? How is it described? John, the Revelator, describes it this way. He, that is God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. There's not going to be any of that stuff. For the old order of things has passed away. In heaven, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. There won't be any more cancer. There won't be any more, health issues at all. You don't even have to worry about what you look like, whether you're thin like me. Okay. You don't have to worry about what you look like. You see? Because you'll have a heavenly body. You see? So there's not going to be any weight issue. There's no scales in heaven, okay, folks? Alright? You don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. It's a place of eternal joy. Yes, defined by being in the presence of Almighty God. What could be better than that? Right? And that's what we need to be sharing with people. And if we really believe that fewer people would enjoy heaven, would we work harder at sharing our faith? See? And by the way, I won't charge you anything extra for this morning. This is not about judging people and so forth, going around going, well, your religion's not, it doesn't fit the mold and pattern, and we got to, that's not what this is about. Okay? Judging people is far above my pay grade, folks. Okay? Far above my pay grade. That's not what this is about at all. It's not what we should be doing. This is about sharing the gospel message of salvation with people as we come in contact with in our lives, that God brings into our lives so they have the opportunity to be saved and spend eternity in heaven rather than an eternity in hell. Okay? How urgent do we feel that need? Well, let's talk about how do we go about doing that. Okay? How do we go about doing that? The reality is that we have a unique tool that God has given to every one of us. And as He challenges us, as He calls upon us to answer this right here, to always be prepared. That's what the message is. Always be prepared to give an answer for anyone who asks,
for the reason for the hope that you have. And we go back to what we said earlier, that we're afraid to answer that because, you know, I may not know the answer to the question. I mean, I don't know the Bible well enough or whatever the case may be. Forget that. God has given you a unique tool to help you to do exactly this right here. To give an answer for the reason for the hope that you have. Amen. He's given you a tool. You don't have to have a Bible degree. You say, you don't have to have, you know, all this knowledge and everything else. You don't even have to be a school person. Okay? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin, having to give an answer for why they healed this lame man. And the Sanhedrin, the members of the Sanhedrin, recognized and noticed that they were unschooled, ordinary men.
All right.
But they also noted that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
They had been with Jesus. That's what makes the difference.
Amen.
Okay? That's what makes the difference. The woman at the well. After her conversation and encounter with Jesus, she ran back to the village. Okay? And she was talking to the people, telling the people about her encounter, her experience. You see? And he tells us there that many of the Samaritans in that town believe because of the woman's testimony. Come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. See, a very simple testimony. A unique tool that woman had. See, and you have a unique tool also. God has given every single one of us a tool to use for sharing the gospel with other people. That tool is your story. It's a unique tool for you. Now, think about it this way. It is your story. And nobody else has that story. So you know what that makes you? That makes you an expert in your story. Okay? I mean, think about it. Nobody can ask you a question that you don't know the answer to with that one. You don't have to worry about that part of it.
When they ask me a story about my life or a question about my life and I don't know the answer, come on.
Okay? You're the expert on your story. So what is your story? That's all you have to do. Don't worry about trying to quote all kinds of scripture and all this kind of thing. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. And the impact that He's made in your life. You don't know that that might be the very thing that that person is looking for. That needs to hear what God has done in your life that's made all the difference for you. Tell your story. Okay? God wants you to use your story for His glory. It's that simple. Be willing to share your story with other people because you know what? You never know that as you share your story, you might be keeping someone from entering through that wide gate and going down that broad road that leads to destruction. You might steer them to the narrow gate simply by sharing what God has done in their life. Tell your story. Your unique gift. Now, we can come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons why we don't share our faith. The bottom line is that God has told us to do that. That's how more people are saved. We are the hands, we are the feet, we are the voice that carries the message of the gospel to those who are lost. And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. So the question for you this morning is, how seriously are you really taking those marching that God has given to every single one of us who belong to Him? Okay? That was not a suggestion that He gave. Now, I understand that a lot of times we don't do it because of those reasons. I don't feel strong enough. I don't feel okay.
if that's where you are this morning, if those are things that maybe have been keeping you from sharing your faith with other people, then let's overcome that this morning. Or at least get you on the road to overcome it, so that you can truly be doing what God has told us all to be doing, sharing your faith with people. And I'm not talking about getting in people's faces and everything else. It's not, again, that's not what this is about. You know, you don't go up and knock on somebody's door and they answer the door and they, you know, is Jesus living in your house? Well, he doesn't. Well, you know, you're going to hell then. Because I'm perfectly able to do.
Well,
you know, that's not what we're talking about. Tell your story. What do you need this morning to help you to be more willing and able to tell your story? To help other people so they can go to heaven. What do you need to do that? That's what we want to provide. We want to help you. Whether it's encouragement, guidance, whatever it might be, that's what we want to provide.